sense, but it still has so many beautiful lessons. So we'll try. I'm sure there will be. I mean, for me, there was some new things. So hopefully for everybody, there will be some new things that will come on today. Okay. So I hope they can hear me. Can you guys hear me? I'll share the screen. I won't even see anybody. Okay, there's also Zoom. You understand Zoom and this also Zoom. Okay. Anyways, but the main thing is that you guys are here and I really appreciate that. But let's see now. We'll do first the Ramban. So we were talking about Moshe Rabbeinu gathering everybody. We weren't yet at the end of the story. We're still at the beginning of the story where Moshe Rabbeinu is dealing with this rebellion. And today we'll see, and this is a little bit hard to see just straight in the Psukim, that there are different groups, factions involved in this rebellion, as we know. So obviously there's Moshe and Aaron on one side, and even Moshe and Aaron are in a way not together in the sense that the people that come with their complaints, they have specific complaints against Moshe, they have specific complaints against Aaron, and really most of the complaints are really more about Moshe Rabbeinu, even if they schlep Aaron into it. And as we saw, we mentioned last week that Aaron himself doesn't defend himself verbally. He sort of stands a little bit to the sidelines and takes his orders directly from Moshe. And he follows Moshe's instruction, and we'll also see today one of the mefarshim, fascinating, was this all done by Hashem dictating exactly to Moshe how to react? Or did Moshe have a little bit of a say in the reaction? And this is also fascinating because why it's fascinating is because if you think about it for a minute, that what they were doing was attacking Moshe Rabbeinu, right? That's what they were doing. His leadership, the fact that he's taking everything for himself. So in a sense, you would think that he might take a step back and say, if I stand up, then it's like my honor, my ego, so to speak. Let me just stand on the side and so to speak, let Hashem do all the work. But he doesn't do that. And we mentioned a very important pasuk last week that shows us, and we'll see today, I'm going to just tell you this quickly, and we'll go through the mefarshim, we'll see it again inside, that Moshe Rabbeinu shows them that he is, and we know this, but he shows it to them very clearly, that he has no ego involved. His leadership is one, as we saw initially, when he became a leader, that he so refused, he was so hesitant to become a leader. And not only that, but good morning, Riva. Not only that, but he did only for the sake of Hashem. There was absolutely nothing in it for himself. To the point, as he says, I didn't even take one donkey from you. Remember how he says it? It was very cute language. And we said last week, what does this mean? He didn't even take one donkey. Because when a person does a job for somebody else, they should be reimbursed. But that's normal. We're talking about him laying out his own expenses. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, even my own expenses that I laid out for your sake, I didn't even get reimbursed for that. So how could you have kindness? How could you have complaints to me that I'm standing here and that it's me that's doing it? I obviously am representing Hashem and there's no ego involved. So let's see now, as a few details of the part as Moshe Rabbeinu is addressing. Okay, I'm just going to share the screen here. We're going to look into the Ramban first. So we'll do the Mefarshim. We won't do all 100% inside because, well, we don't have that much time and it does get a bit tedious, but we'll try to do so. Okay, so let's see how the Ramban says here. So as we've done many Rambans in the past, we know that the Ramban, what he does is, many, many times, is he quotes from Rashi, he quotes from the Ramban, he also quotes from somebody called Rabbi Hananel. This is, he does often. Interesting, Rabbeinu Hananel. I think one of the, just before the Ramban he lived. And he sometimes agrees, most of the time, he has his own opinion afterwards. So let's see what he says. So very nice just to see how his train of thought. So if you look at number one on your sheets, numbered so it's easier to follow, hopefully. So he said, I'll read, I said, start inside and then we'll do some outside, some inside. Okay. The Kosov Rabbeinu Hananel. Ki Eile Hanikholim. All of these that are gathered. Kulam Hayu Leviim Mishevet Kairach. According to Hananel, they were all Leviim from the tribe which Kairach is from, the tribe of Levi. And that's why the Zetam, Rav Lachem B'nei Levi, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu says, enough, isn't it enough for you, the tribe of Levi? You know how he addresses them, like enough complaints, don't you have enough, all the different things that means. Shimuna B'nei Levi, Moshe Rabbeinu says, listen, the sons of Levi, because according to Hananel, these are really all from the tribe of Levi. Ulai chashvu ki kol shiftam Maybe what was their thought? What was their complaint? Their entire shevet nifchar lekahuna umayshem me'atzmai chalak kavod le'echav. That really? What did Hashem want? Hashem wanted the entire tribe to be kohanim. And Moshe decided on his own, oh, I'll pick one from the tribe, and we know who he picked. He picked his own brother Aaron. That doesn't sit so well with the rest of the tribe of Levi. Atkan, this is what Rabbeinu Hananel says. So we can see the language. It's interesting to follow the language. The Ramban doesn't just disagree. He disagrees differently in different cases. Over here, he uses a very strong language. Chalila, he says, the Chalila. Shahoyu b'shevet mishar se'elikenu masayim v'chamishim kruyim v'nesiyin b'nei meri. It's like, God forbid to say, that there was amongst the tribe of Levi 250 important people, princes, who were b'nei meri, bitter, who were rebellious, mevatim b'rabam, who would rebel and kick against their teacher, in other words, against Moshe Rabbeinu, u'begodol shiftam u'malinim al Hashem, and they would go and defy the head of their shevet. And also, obviously, what that means is, we all know that it's not just Moshe, Moshe represents Hashem. How could we say that? Because remember, we said there were 250 men. So according to Rabbeinu Hananel, it sounds as if they're all from Shevet Levi. Impossible, the Ramban says. Can't be so many from the Shevet Levi that would be so rebellious, so in such, like, we would put them into such a terrible category. So how does the Ramban explain it? So he says like this, just to finish, he says, if they were tackle all from that Shevet, all from Shevet Levi, then the entire, all of the Shvatim would not have joined them. They wouldn't have felt such a kinship with them if they're all from one tribe. Let them fight their own battle in one tribe, and it almost sounds like almost like a civil war, you know. Let them fight against their own Moshe Rabbeinu. What do we have to do with it? So definitely they weren't all, again proving, they weren't all from Shevet Levi. I says, and why? Because what did they say? Mimacharas, tomorrow, Lamar, Atem Hanisem Esam Hashem, as we saw, you know, you are the one who put to death the nation of Hashem, which we'll see soon, that's afterwards. Ki loy meis lahem meis, rak mi shevet meis of Aaron. Because if that would have been the case, then the only shevet that would have died in this whole story would have been from the Levim. But obviously that's not what happened. And that's why the entire Jewish nation was distraught afterwards. Okay, so he says like this, he goes on and he says, Vegam, another proof, Vegam ba'is hamate, raya, ki hamachlekes mikol shiftei Yisraeli. We didn't read that yet, but remember, we read about the fact that they're going to bring a ketores. But afterwards, we know that they also have these sticks, and they flower. And even that test, which we'll get to, which shows who is the one that Hashem chose, even that one is a proof that this is representatives from all of the different tribes. Kosu Perish, Va'anoshim, Mibnei Yisrael, because it says clearly men from amongst the Bnei Yisrael. Lahagit ki hoyu mikol hashvatim, loimin hashnayim haniskarim bilvad, not only from the two who were mentioned. Who's the two? Shevet Levi, remember we said, and Reuven. Remember who Dosan and Aviram were from. So we might think they all come from Reuven and Levi. The truth is, obviously, they were the instigators. They were the ones inciting. But, of course, they unfortunately did manage to influence others. And we're going to see how strongly. Okay, so let's see. He says like this, Aval, so then why does Moshe single them out? If it's from all of Bnei Israel, so why does Moshe Rabbeinu say, Rav Lochem Bnei Levi, which sounds like what Rabbeinu Hananel says, right? It sounds almost like he's implicating and he's finding guilty who? Dafke Shevet Levi. Why does he do that? So let's see what the Ramban's logic. So he says like this, because Bavur, ki Koirach haya mifatel lekol hashvatim. Because Koirach incited all of the shvatim. He influenced them negatively. So interestingly enough, who's the one held responsible? It's like when you're a teacher in a classroom, you see who's the ringleader, and that's the one you get in trouble. And you know, when that one's out, then everybody else will calm down. So Moshe Rabbeinu, who does he isolate? Who does he highlight? Koirach. But it's not only that when you highlight and you isolate, but also the responsibility very much lies on the one who influences the other. We know we have that very, very strongly in Torah, this concept, like we say about Yerovam ben Nevat, how terrible he was. Why? Not only did he sin, but he's what we call machti es harabin. That's considered one of the worst things possible. When you influence others to do negative, that's bad. If you do something bad, you make a mistake, whatever, that's bad enough. But if you influence others, then there's, unfortunately, it's actually very, very challenging for you to do tshuva. So you can see over here, that's why we're highlighting Rav Lachem B'nei Levi, to teach us this important lesson. So let's see what he says. As we say, because he was standing up for the honor of Sheva Levi, and especially also we know Perach was a Bechor, he wanted to restore everything to the Bechorim. Kasher, Amar Kipala Eida Kulam Kedoshim, good morning, the entire nation is all good, the entire nation is all is our all holy, Moshe b'chach masai, and this is very powerful. So Moshe, in his great wisdom, gila mitzafayn libay, he revealed from the, that's interesting, from the hidden, from the cleverness of his heart, meaning to say because Moshe can see inside what other people are thinking, but it's also from the insides of what things are not so revealed and not so obvious. And what did he do? He revealed it l'chol ha'am, to the entire nation. Ki hu al kuhunosay tzoyik. That what's Korach's complaint? Korach's complaint is about the kahuna. It's directed to Aaron and it's directed to Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's not that he's really standing and defending the entire nation. No, he doesn't even have you in mind. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is able to tell them. For Amar Shaddai Loi B'chavat Shiftai, and he tells him, isn't it enough for you in the honor of your Shevet, Rav Lachem B'nei Levi? Like, in other words, you're already a chosen tribe. What do you need more? V'chazar V'amar Shimon B'nei Levi L'Korach G'daylam K'vizet Tam V'yemer Moshe L'Korach. That's why we have Moshe singling out Korach. Aval Kolel Dvarav Im B'nei Levi. But he includes his words not only to Korach but to the entire Shevet Levi. Ki Divrei Moshe B'chach Masai. Pius l'choloi u'lechol hashevet shelo yimshach adam mehem acharav. Again, Moshe, we know, wasn't just an ordinary person. He was an incredibly brilliant man in the sense that he knew how to be a leader. What was he trying to do? He was trying to appease. And he was hoping to, he was still had hope that he would calm, as we mentioned last week, calm Korach down, thereby calm the rest of the Shevet down, thereby calm the rest of Bnei Yisrael down. He tried, as we said last time, so hard to, how do you say, to almost prick the balloon of the machlekes. He didn't want it. He wanted so badly to alleviate, and he knew the repercussions of what's going to happen. But whatever he tried, when Perach insisted, he insisted. So let's see, the next part is very, very important, because we mentioned it, but I wanted to see inside. Now what happens with the rest of Bnei Yisrael? V'hine, Moshe me'atzmai, this is not that wrong, but I'll share with you something also beautiful here. Moshe me'atzmai choshev ha'machshava hazais, Moshe himself, remember we mentioned before, interesting question. Was this directly commanded by Hashem, all the words that Moshe used? Or did Moshe also use his own wisdom to play a part in how he would lead them here? And this is fascinating. So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu himself thought this thought, v'rotza, and wanted, b'k'tayres, yoyser mishar ha'kavan. This idea of bringing the k'tayres, Moshe Rabbeinu came to it himself. Why? Because he already had experience. B'nodav Avihu, remember we said that the sons of Aaron, ki ba'akrivam k'tayres zara lefnei Hashem, b'sarfei, v'hiter la'aren la'hakter oysai, very interesting. He already saw how powerful the terrorist was, right? Because he saw what happened with Nadav and Avihu. So he said, I have this powerful tool that I know already by experience that it works, and somebody who misuses it can be severely punished. But fascinatingly, we see, how does Moshe have the right? And it's very interesting, because to bring a terrorist, you have to be commanded by Hashem. Keteiris is a very holy avoda. A person cannot decide that today I want to bring a keteiris. It doesn't work like that. So it says something, there's a very important language here that the Ramban uses, this word of letzorech hashah. This is a word which means for the need of the time, but more importantly, it means temporarily. A tzaddik, or if you want to say a navi, even more, we find that with Eliyahu and Har HaKarmel, can actually change a halacha temporarily, only temporarily. Because we say, HaTayra Azu Loitei Mukhlefes, right? The Rambam says, never, Tayra can never change. But if you know somebody has already proved himself to be a proper Navi, or to be a proper tzaddik, in other words, always follows halacha all the time, and at this moment, the needs of the community says that there needs to be a change, as long as they say it's only temporary, you can listen. They can never change something permanently. So here, Moshe Rabbeinu is allowed to say, bring a k'dayres, because he knows it's so important for the unity and for the whole existence of Klal Yisrael. So that's one opinion. But the Ramban qualifies, interesting, because that's very challenging. You know, even that's a difficult thing to say, because you don't just do that. So how did Moshe Rabbeinu do it? He did it with the least changes possible. So what does he do? We know that every single day there was a k'tayres that's brought. Now that was just a k'tayres brought by Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, you know, the special one. But here, so he's improvising a little and he's extending it, that all the 250 men are bringing their, remember last week we said their pans, right? They're all going to have a k'tayres. But look what he says. He says, nevertheless, what does Moshe do? So he says, maybe I shehaisuk tayres habaker shehiktir b'haloseyes haneres k'mishpat. Maybe it was the regular k'tayres that's brought every single day, right? That one that's brought, you know, when they light the candles, just like the halacha is. Ubatach Moshe ki Hashem makin dvar avdo. Very interesting, because as we just said, this wasn't a command from Hashem. Moshe is taking a very big risk, because he's expecting Hashem to actually play along with the whole scenario that he wants, right? He wants the fire to come down only on Aaron, only to consume Aaron. How does he know? Where does he have that guarantee? So he thinks, he's hoping, he's davening hard that Hashem will listen to him. And he knows, because the truth is Moshe was such a devoted servant, that Hashem will. And we know there's a pasuk that says, the atzas malochav yashlim, right? That the advice of his angels, he fulfills, which actually in this context means Moshe Rabbeinu. And then another opinion, v'yesh ayrim, ki ayishma Moshe vayipal al panav. Moshe heard and he fell on his face, as we said before. Remember we read those psukim, that was initially when he heard them complaining, he saw how terrible it was. Why did he fall on his face? It's very interesting. So we said, and it's true, this is also true, that he was so shocked and he knew the ramifications that he right away fell on his face. He almost didn't know what to do. He like lost himself. I mean, this is too much already. How many times am I going to stand up for them? Not only that, but machlekes, as we said, sometimes is just no way out of it. So this is the worst of the worst. So the Ramban takes another step. Beautiful. He says, there's something else that happened when Moshe fell on his face. What else did he do at that time? I laugh because there's always this story, this famous joke that's told about, you know, Yom Kippur and people fall koyrim. And so there's always this joke that people say that, you know, this one person's watching everybody and it's afternoon and they seem to have so much strength and he's wondering how come if they're all fasting. So one guy says, no, you don't understand. When we fall down, there's something under the talus that we've hidden, that we sneak. You know, like, it's a stupid joke, but what does it mean over here? Look what Moshe Rabbeinu did when he fell. Even though he fell because it's true, he was so shocked, but never does he lose an opportunity. And when he fell on his face, it says, what did he do? Lidreish es Hashem, ladas mayase. He asked Hashem, what should I do? So that's where he was, alone with Hashem, so to speak, and he could say, what should I do? And Hashem says, v'oz nemer loy, boiker v'yodeya Hashem, right? So, v'yivada, right? In the morning, we're going to know. And that's where he's given the insight to know what to do when he falls on his face. Interesting also, if you think about it, falling on your face is a sign, again, we don't need Moshe to show that, but it is a sign of humility. Again, the idea that he's relinquishing control and he knows the only one that's going to advise him and that's going to save this situation is Hashem himself. And that's a very important one for us to also remember. He says, V'loim nisper zeh. And interesting, the Ramban says, how could I say this? Because it doesn't say that Moshe fell on his face and he spoke to Hashem and Hashem answered him and then Moshe Rabbeinu repeated. It doesn't say that in the psukim. So he says, interesting, it's a general rule. He says, V'loim nisper zeh rak b'sipur Moshe la'am. He doesn't mention this, interesting, only when Moshe Rabbeinu tells the nation, but he says a very interesting thing. The only thing we are told here, in other words, is that Moshe tells the nation what to do. But what's missing in the equation is, did Hashem tell it to Moshe? It doesn't say that. Nowhere does it say Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, give him the instructions, and then Moshe tells it to the nation. You only have that Moshe says it to the nation. Ukvar b'risichav kibim mechemes rabim, pam yarech b'dibur Hashem al Moshe, v'yakter b'sipur Moshe. Because he says in many places, the Ramban says, sometimes it tells us at length how Hashem speaks to Moshe, and it very, very abbreviated, or it only hints to the fact that Moshe says it to the Jewish people, and sometimes the other way around. Sometimes it only says that Moshe says it to the Jews, but we have to conclude, obviously Moshe doesn't say anything from himself. Hashem must have told it to him, and the Torah doesn't choose to tell that to us there, but somewhere Hashem did tell it to Moshe, and then he shares it with the Jewish people. And then he says, and sometimes we're not told at all. And he gives an example which I won't go to in length over here. A few examples when you have later on in Chumash Bamidbar when they're dividing Eretz Yisrael. It's before, you know, they're going to go in. And we know how Reuven and God and Chatzi Shev and Menashe want to plot outside. They want to say, stay me'aver liyardin. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, and this, it's interesting over there to want to see the psukim. It's not so clear where Moshe Rabbeinu is getting his guidance from, but you see what he says, Es asher dibra Hashem labdecha keinase. That's what it says afterwards. Whatever Hashem spoke to his servant, so he is done. And also you with Yeshua, when he actually divides the land, we find what happens. It says, Al pi Hashem biyad Moshe. And then, it's interesting, I'm just looking how, these are just different examples where we find that the person might say it looks like on their own, and sometimes it's directly said that no, Hashem gives them instructions, but obviously we know that whatever Moshe did, whatever Yeshua did, whatever all these great tzaddikim and neviim did, they only followed the direct instruction from Hashem himself. Now let's go to the next paragraph, Vidati. What's my opinion how this all works? Bazeh, u'bemasha amar la'arim, and what he said to Aaron. Kach es hamachte v'sib k'teiris. Right, he told him, take this pan and put a k'teiris. Shehoi sa'olav yad Hashem b'hem. Right? He had, what was there? There was the hand of Hashem. And this is a very important fundamental concept that runs across Yiddishkeit. Because, it's interesting, we have sometimes direct, you know, Hashem says, v'yidaber Hashem al Moshe lemer. We know Hashem spoke to Moshe. We have sometimes where Moshe gives an idea, and we have very rarely, actually, where it's sort of from Moshe himself. That's really never. What do we have? We have a very beautiful idea that actually is not only to Moshe, but this, even after the time when Nevuah stopped, this still exists. And this is known as, we use it without realizing what we're saying, Ruach HaKodesh. What is Ruach HaKodesh? You know, people say, they have this tzaddik has Ruach HaKodesh. What does this mean, Ruach HaKodesh? It's an interesting terminology. So look how the Ramban says. The Ramban says, Shehoi Sol of Yad Hashem, as he says, Behu HaNikra, Ruach HaKodesh. This is called the spirit of holiness. This is where you don't have a direct prophecy. It's not direct. It's not clear, like crystal clear, Hashem appeared to you. It's the tzaddik's intuition, which is in sync with Hashem, because he is so followed, if you want to say he's so bottled, and says he so follows everything that he doesn't almost have a will of his own. It's where Hashem rests his spirit, but it comes through, you know, he just knows this is what Hashem wants. And this is called Ruach HaKodesh, and he says this is what Moshe Rabbeinu had here. And we find it, he says, Kinyan b'sifrei David v'shleima shahayu b'ruach HaKodesh, interesting. That the works of David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech are written with Ruach HaKodesh Kumai, Sha'ama Ruach Hashem Diber Bi, right? That the Spirit of Hashem spoke through me, Umilosoi Al Shayni, and his words are on my tongue. Ki Moshe Rabbeinu B'chol Beisai Ne'emanu. What's the criteria to have Ruach HaKodesh? You have to be like Moshe Rabbeinu Ne'eman. Ne'eman is a very difficult thing. We know Ne'eman. Ne'eman has many meanings, but in a simple sense, loyal, beyond loyal. Loyal to the sense that nothing, and like literally, nothing else matters, especially not himself. That's the biggest one. If you're subjective, there's no Ruach HaKodesh, that's for sure. Okay, so let's see how he says. Kasher perashti inyan habayis viskartiv pamim rabbi. So he says, Ramban said, I explained this in many places. And he says, So this is, the truth is, this is not the usual Moshe doesn't usually get Ruach HaKodesh. Moshe most of the time gets a direct Nevuah. But yet sometimes, and over here, this was more of a Ruach HaKodesh. I'm just going to stop over here, go to the next Ramban. I say we'll do some insight, some orally. But I want to show you, because this one continues also this theme about, so now we said it wasn't just Bnei Levi. We know Dasan and Aviram played a big role. They're from Reuven. But fascinating thing that happens, because it says, Vayishlach Moshe, Moshe sent to call Dasan and Aviram. So the first question is, where were they? Because initially they all came together, do you remember? And Kairach comes, Dasan and Aviram, Ein Ben Peles, they all come together presenting their arguments. But when Moshe Rabbeinu starts to address Kairach and says, Rav Lachem Bnei Levi, right? So there he's highlighting Bnei Levi. So Dasan and Aviram decide to take the moment and they slink backwards, as we mentioned last week. And they go home, not with good intention, not to stop the Machlekes, but rather to continue to incite as many people as possible. So they're not there now. So now Moshe has to send for them, to call them, because he wants to talk to them also. And why does he want to talk to them? Because the same thing. He's trying so hard to convince them to stop the Machlekes. So I just want to see, which words I want to see
and
here.
And On was still there. He had.
Oh, very good question. Where's Ayn? So Ayn left with Dasan and Aviram. And then we don't see him anymore, right? The famous part of the story. He doesn't exist anymore. Because look, he says, Vayishlach Moshe, lekroi ledosan vavirim. So we know the story, but I want to tell you something interesting that the Ramban says. So they're not so well known. Why doesn't Moshe call to Ayim, right? Dosan vavirim and Ayim, because he's the one that came also. How does Moshe know Ayim's already not coming? So fascinating, the Ramban says an interesting thing. He says that Moshe thought like this, if I call Dasan and Aviram, I know they're the real leaders. Of course, if Ayim wants to come, he's going to join them. For sure, because he's less than them. They are the heads of their shevet. Ayin is secondary. So he would tag along with them. For sure, Moshe was assuming, he was expecting to see him. But we know what happens, and I'll just read you that the Ramban brings it at the end. But I just want to see if there was something just before that. That's why I said that they left. That's why he had to send for them, because they left when Moshe was addressing Kairach specifically. And also, as we mentioned last week, interesting because geographically, Kairach lived close to where Moshe was, so therefore he was closer. And then he would wanted Dasan and Aviram to come from Bnei Levi, not too far away, but a little bit more of a distance to come, and he's going to address them as well. But we know the famous story, and I'll just read that very quickly at the end, what happened to Ayin. So as he says, Moshe didn't think he needs to call them specifically, but we know, if you look at Vayetochen, do you see that paragraph starts Vayetochen on the second column? Shehu Yudas and Vavirim Besiye Eda, they were the heads of the tribe. Hayoish Chashuvim Me'oim Ben Peles, they were more important than Oim Ben Peles. Vim Hayu Heim Misratzim Eilav, if they would be running, Hayu Ayin Hayulek Achar Aksosam, right? They would also, he would follow their lead. That's what Moshe thought. Interesting, but more than that, not only Misratzim, it's more if Moshe could calm down Dasan and Aviram, he thought for sure Ayin Ben Peles would also withdraw. So he saw Ayin Ben Peles as secondary to them. Whatever they would do, he would follow. Interesting, because the truth is that in a way that was a mistake. Because Ayin actually, well, it's not really a mistake. It wasn't Ayin's strength, it was his wife's strength. But Ayin ended up not following them, as we know. So he says, Al came Lo Shalach Elof, so therefore he doesn't send for him. Vihine Loiba, Yitake doesn't come. V'loi Hoya Imahem, he wasn't with them. V'loi Imadas Kairach, and now with Kairach's whole rabble, Vihoylech Milafonav, because Halach Milafonav, Kishaholchu Lohem Dasam Vaviram, Kasher Misvakeach and Kairach, V'loi Chayshet. Shom, right? So he wasn't there. Shekvar chazar boy, ba'atzas ishtoi, sha'atzi losai, imayim rabbi seinu. So he brings, he alludes to the fact, why wasn't he there? Because we know what his wife did, took off her sheitel, and they came to get her, and therefore they didn't come to the tent, and he was left behind, because she knew Kairach is no good, and therefore he wasn't part of the whole story afterwards, he was left behind, and that's why we know, right? He wasn't swallowed. Pasuk doesn't mention later on, we'll see when we talk about who was swallowed up, doesn't mention him being swallowed up in Dasan Vaviram, right? He wasn't amongst that congregation who were standing there testifying against Hashem. He didn't have a pan of Teres. There was only 250, besides the Arba and his Karim Tchila, the four that were mentioned at the beginning. So he's not there anymore. Okay, so now we know who's there. So now we have Moshe sent. But what had happened? Remember we read last week? They said, we're not coming. They were beyond Chutzpedik, right? Remember, they refused to come. Okay, I just want to see quickly the Aruch Hayim HaKadosh, how he says. Very beautiful. Again, I know it's a detail, but it's just beautiful how smart and how every part of the story is so incredible. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, sends for them. Nischakim Bazeh. So again, the wisdom of Moshe. He's using as much wisdom as possible here because he so wants to get rid of this machlekes. He says, "L'daber imam biyichud." He wants to speak to them alone. Shaloi b'shas havad, not while they were part of this whole group, if you want to say, and this whole rabble over there. Why? Ulai yarviach taitam echad laechad. Maybe he will be able to, if he speaks to them more in an individual way, he might be able to reach them. Because you know what do we say? Divide and conquer, right? Even in a class, sometimes you have a bunch of kids together, take them apart, separate, then maybe you can talk some sense. And this is what Moshe was hoping. Didn't work, as we know. And also he says, Gam be'emtzos ha'chashivos asher hu machshivam. This is also very important, because the pasuk repeats, Vayishlach Moshe. Obviously, who's sending for them? Of course Moshe's sending. Why does it say Moshe? Because Moshe was hoping that because he's giving them so much honor almost, the importance, asher hu machshivam ledaber aleihem, right? Miklolus hanayadim. So he's specifically like talking to them individually, and that's giving them like a feeling of very much importance. Well, that maybe will influence them, hopefully. Yisrakech, interesting. Hopefully he's going to soften their heart, lahatos oizen, so that they lend him his ear. He was hoping to soften them. They were coming with such a harshness and such a stubbornness. The dictate hakos of leimer vayishlach Moshe likrei shalai hayot tzarech lizikar and Moshe, as we said, he didn't have to mention Moshe. Yismach al zechreina b'samuch elal, because we mentioned already before Moshe, so obviously it's Moshe sending elalahar mihu asher leach Moshe melech Yisrael v'navi Hashem. Moshe, the mamish, the king of Israel, and he was the one that sends for you. You would think that you would come and you would feel so honored and you would be willing to listen, but they were not willing to listen. Let's go now to the next page, number 4. As a Kliyokar, Kliyokar always has a different way of looking at things. How does the Kliyokar see? He says a beautiful thing, because we said, he said to him, Hama'at mikem, isn't it enough for you? You know, what do you want? Like, you've gotten so much. Remember he said to B'nai Levi, you're the most important shevet, you get to do the mishmaris, you get so many important roles in the, both in the actual avodah of the Mishkan and in carrying the Mishkan. So what does the Kli Yakar say? He takes it a step further. What is Moshe implying? He says, Lochem lo ne'emar ela mikem. He's not saying to you, but he's saying from you. What does this mean? Lefi shemedaber al hamered v'hamal hayotze mikem. The rebellion, that absolute, like total rebellion that's coming from them. What does that mean? Let's see what that means. He says like this. V'chi davar muat v'kotan hu. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them. Is it something small, meret kazeh? First of all, this kind of a rebellion. Somebody who's given a certain appointment, and we're talking about not just an ordinary appointment, but like something in, like important, you know, a role, an important role, a role of leadership, a role which is holy. Is that normal? Will somebody say, you gave me this, why did you get, like children maybe, but anybody who's mature doesn't say, you gave me this, why didn't you give me the bigger role? People don't do that. They feel privileged that they were chosen at all. So what's going on over here? And then he says something more. He's hinting something to them. Hama'at mikem. You know, the tribe of Levi, look in the mirror. You are the smallest shevet. So we know one of the reasons they were the small shevet, they didn't work in Mitzrayim, it says, right? And Hashem gave a bracha dafka to the ones who were working, right? They're the ones who had the 6. Shevet Levi only had 1 baby at a time. They didn't have 6 at a time. So they were the smallest of the Shvatim who left Mitzrayim. But there's another reason that they're the smallest. And this is fascinating. Why? He says, Ki hivdil Hashem eschem v'haynu la'avodas orayim ha'mechaleb bochem. You are chosen and you are divided to do what? to work with the Arayin. And what does the Arayin do? It's actually quite scary. It destroys you. What does it mean, it destroys you? It's an interesting thing. How does the Arayin destroy you? Oh, let's see, he says. I'll tell you in a second. It'll be kashtem gam kehuna. Not only do you like take this job that Hashem gave you, and you are able to come in contact with the Arayin, and not just the Arayin. The Arayin means all the Kalim, but especially the Arayin. And what do you mean by destroys? It is so holy that anybody that is not worthy, that comes near it, it's like it'll burn you up, it'll destroy you. Right? You have to be constantly on guard. It is something that is so dangerous almost, unless you're really worthy. And he says like this, so you're not satisfied with that, in other words, with his dangerous mission. You want also kahuna. You also want to be the kayin. V'tistaknu b'yaisa, you're going to be even more danger. Ki kol hakarev, hakarev b'yaiser el ha'arein bris Hashem, misukan b'yaiser. Anybody who allows themselves, and obviously they were chosen for this, but nevertheless, it's a privilege and it's a massive responsibility. Anybody who comes closest to the Arayin is in the greatest danger. They have to constantly be on the highest level. So he says, oh, so maybe you might say, okay, very nice, but what about Aaron? You did choose your brother. Aren't you worried about him? So look what the Kli Yakar says. The Aaron Mahu. This is so beautiful. You know, we always talk about Moshe Rabbeinu being the greatest, the most humble. But we know, we've said many times, that Aaron was definitely not very far behind. And maybe, I mean, it says Moshe was the most humble. So, just there. We saw how when Moshe Rabbeinu was refusing, why? Why was one of his biggest reasons why he didn't want to become the leader? Because he says, I have an older brother. He didn't want to step on Aaron's toes. He really didn't want to. And what does Hashem say to Moshe? What are you worried about? Not only is he going to see you, but he's already coming to you to greet you and to bring you back to Mitzrayim. And he's going to be happy where? In his heart. In other words, as we always say, the big word, erfagint. You know, there's no English word for that. He has real fagin and he wants you. And he has no sense of self. Aaron is beyond humble, but he's humble in a beautiful way. Maish is humble with emes. Aaron is humble with chesed. It's a love. He just loves. He has simcha when he sees somebody else that has something more than him, which is not the usual. Usually you have simcha, somebody has something like you, you know, you want to share. But he has simcha even if it's something that he really wants, but the other person has it. This is Aaron. So what does he say to Kli Yakar? You're talking about how could you compare anybody to Aaron? He doesn't think of himself as anything. Al Kain. Who miskayim? That's why he continues to exist. Strong language. In other words, he's not harmed. Afal pishu karev el Hashem b'yaser. Even though he's the one that constantly comes close to Hashem. K'maisha amru heve kibel v'kayim. Right. So he's able to be received, and he continues to exist. Aval kol mishena be'erkay. Anybody who's not on his level, begeder ha'anava, in that level of humility, enay miskayim, won't continue to exist. Im yavei lifnei Hashem, b'leiv gas. Anybody who comes with any ego and any gaiva, any arrogance, even the slightest sense, will not continue to exist. So that's what he says, the Kli Yakar. Hama'at mikem. Aren't you guys petrified? Be happy with what you have and stand back a little. It's dangerous what you want. Stay clear. And interesting, nothing's convincing them, unfortunately. Okay, let's see now. I'm going to watch the time because there's I don't want to miss out a beautiful Arachayim HaKadosh that we have to do. So we'll do a little more here and then we're going to skip to that. Okay, then he says, the Svarnu, number 5. I'm going to go to where brackets, the second bracket. Loi, remember how we said, Loi chamar echad mehem nasasi, right? I didn't even carry one of your donkeys. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, what are you guys complaining about? I didn't even take one of your donkeys. So as we said, afilu b'mashayene hejek michaveiroi, loi nehenesi mehem. Even what a usual, a simple person takes like from his friends, even that I didn't have pleasure. In other words, even if I wasn't an important person, even if I didn't deserve the normal stuff that you get from somebody else, I didn't get. Shalaki balti mehem afilu chamer b'shpashal, I didn't even take like a borrowed donkey, so to speak. V'im kein haisa srarasi aleyem kula litay alasam. That means that my leadership and the fact that I look like I'm above you, it was all for your benefit. ulesakein in your name, only to fix your things. It wasn't for my benefit. You see, I never took anything at all. And as we mentioned, okay, I'll just read quickly because a very important word here this foreigner uses. Just tell you a little bit of another kli upper. Then he says, "V'im kein haisa surarasi alein kula," as you say, "loy l'toyalasi v'hana asi klal." Not at all for my benefit. Not at all did I have pleasure. Nothing. I gained nothing from it. V'einam misramim asrarasi ella. Why are you guys complaining about the fact that I am a leader? Nitzad mashehem. Another terrible midah they have. Not only are they arrogant, not only are they jealous, but they're also ungrateful. They have no gratitude. Moshe Rabbeinu says, even just gratitude should have stopped you from these complaints. Because you see, what I've done has always been with you in mind, and I had nothing to do with myself in mind. It should have stopped you. It should have prevented you from having the chutzpah to come and complain and to act in this way. Okay, I want to show you something else. The next one is a kliyoker that I'll just tell you orally. This is a very beautiful, it's a very interesting, he threads the whole, you know, how it works. As we mentioned a little bit last week, so I hope it's not too much, hope I'm not repeating, but just very quickly, so when Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, you know, Rav Lachem, and what are you all complaining about, and it's not me, it's Hashem who decided that I'm going to be the head, and Aaron was all decided by Hashem, why does he bring in this idea of loy chamar? Because remember, then afterwards he calls for Dasan and Aviram. They don't come. Why? Because what do they say in their mind? They say, "Ah, we know why Moshe is calling us. Because Moshe wants to bribe us. How does he want to bribe us? He wants to bribe us with promises. Now he sees that we're upset. You know, like in politics. You know, you underhand come to have a meeting. We'll give you this position, and then you'll shush up and you won't say anything." They thought Moshe Rabbeinu is going to promise us some high position, something else. So Moshe, and not only that, he's going to promise us, if not us, so our children, then when they enter Eretz Yisrael. So that's why they have two things that they say back to Moshe. First of all, you didn't bring us to a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, you don't even keep your word. We can't even believe you, even if you promise us anything. You're worse than the other politicians, so to speak. It doesn't even pay to bargain with you, even if it's underhand. But another interesting thing, I just want to see, there's one more very fascinating thing here. Also, that Moshe Rabbeinu says, and that's how Moshe Rabbeinu responds to them, "You guys think that I wanted to bribe you? Never mind not bribing you, but I, and that all of this leadership that I've taken is because I want the leadership? I didn't even take a donkey that was owed to me, I didn't even take. How could you accuse me of anything of that sort?" And this is why Moshe brings that in, like, how could you even think that this is all anything to do with myself, anything to do with me deciding? It was definitely all the Eibishter that was telling me what to do, because even what I deserved to take from you, I didn't. And the Kliyakar brings, and other Mefarshim bring from the Medrash, another interesting thing that's underneath those words also, Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, "And even if you will accuse me," perhaps, you know, because Moshe Rabbeinu was the head of the Beis Din, and you know, as you talk about a Beis Din, everybody always has complaints about the Rabbanim on the Beis Din, that they were a little bit biased to this one or to that one. He says, "I was never biased." You know why? Because all my verdicts were directly from Hashem. I always had Ruach HaKodesh. It wasn't my ideas. And never did anybody leave my court thinking or knowing, and for sure knowing, even if they might have in their heart felt, but they knew that I had given a very exact, honest verdict. So how could you guys say now, you think that I would do anything that would be whether to hurt you or also to be in charge of you in a way that's not justified? All of this is the thrust of what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them. I want to go now, look at the Arachan, I'll tell you which one, on number, I'm skipping a lot, but we'll see that. Time number, the last one, page 9, the last page. I have to show you something absolutely beautiful. Now, we read a pasuk, you just want to find this pasuk in the, we read it last time. Oh, there was such a beautiful, okay. Let's see if we manage. Let's see which pasuk. Okay, so then at the end of the whole thing, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them all to separate, right? Hibadlu mitoicha eida, right? Separate yourself. Ba'achala oisam kerega, and I will destroy you in a moment. That's what Hashem says. And Moshe Rabbeinu thinks Hashem is going to destroy the entire Bnei Yisrael. And he says to Hashem, no. Vayiplu al pneihem, and this is Moshe and Aaron, fall on their face. Vayomru, and they say, Kel Elokei HaRuchais L'chol Basar. This is an interesting terminology, but it says, Hashem of the spirits of all flesh. Ha'ish Echad Yechteh, will one man sin, V'al Kol Ha'eda Tiktzayf, and you're going to be angry at the whole nation? In other words, what are you going to do? Destroy all B'nai Israel? It's only Kairach and then his people. Right? So now, the Aruch Haim HaKadosh says something so beautiful on these words, Kel Elokei HaRuchais L'chol Basar. So he explains HaRuchais L'chol Basar to be people, right? Basar, people of flesh, who have the spirit of Hashem within them, which means that they have the neshama, which is talking about people like us who are alive. Let's see what he says. So this is at the end over here, and I'll show you, start from Chaf Aleph, Hibadlu, right? So you should separate. Loi al Moshe v'Aaron u'Omer, it's not to Moshe and Aaron. Ki le'ela loi tifka midas adin, definitely. Oh, no, 1 minute. This is the last one, yeah. But it's not going to happen. No, I'll tell you what. Go down to Chaf Beis. It's on the same page. So, and there's also stars there that we're going to read in a minute. Amar Shem Kel. First of all, he uses the word Kel Elokei. Why? L'tzachara is Iris, Kagburus Hadinim, because Moshe Rabbeinu saw how there was very great judgment coming, right? Hashem is getting upset, right? It's the last page of the booklet, yeah? Hiskir Chesed Kel. That's why he mentions the word Kel, the name of Hashem Kel, because he wants to arouse the mercy, the compassion. Okay, but because he wants to get rid of the judgment. Then he says, V'aymer, Elokei HaRuchais L'chol Basar. What is this Elokei HaRuchais L'chol Basar? Sorry, I'm going to go to Oidnis Kavim because press the time. This is another explanation. L'daber L'fonav Divrei Ritzui. He wanted to speak to Hashem. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Hashem. Don't get angry at everybody, right? And what is he saying? He wanted to speak words that would be accepted by Hashem, that Hashem would like to hear. And what were they? Al Pimasha Kadam Lai, according to what is he knows before, that what? Biyadiyas Hadragas Hachefetz Sheyesh Lebayre. Right? The Aruch Haim HaKadosh has a very interesting terminology, a little bit Kabbalistic, but he says like this. This is something that Moshe Rabbeinu is aware of as far as the levels of what Hashem likes. In other words, what Hashem prefers, so to speak. Where does Hashem love to get his, how do you say it, attention from? Who does Hashem like to engage with? Who does Hashem want to hear from? And I did it in one of the Tillim Shiur recently, this thing. So let's say so. Aleph Hu, the first thing, who's the lowest level? Hashem loves Shevach v'Hallel, Asher Yitnu Loi Tzva Maila. When the hosts, if you want to say, so this could be the planets, this could be the Malachim, when they give Hashem praise, Hashem is very happy. L'mayla mimenu, what's higher than that? Shevach v'halel asher yitnu lo neshamas ha-tzadikim. Of course, greater than the malachim are the neshamas of the tzadikim when they praise Hashem. And he says, mishnei, beautiful language, mishnei oitzres ha-chaim, from the two treasure houses of life. What do we mean? Because the neshamas are found in two treasure houses. One, oitzer echad shel neshamas shadayim lo yibo'u le'olam hazeh, one treasure house of neshamas that hasn't yet descended into this world, right? There's this treasure house of neshamas that has not yet descended. And then we say there's another treasure house, oitzer echad shel neshamas, sorry, shaleim amrozav zachreinu levracha ad she yichlu kol neshamas shel aguf, right? The famous thing that it says, that until all of the neshamas have come down into the body, that's what we're waiting for Mashiach to come. But there's this treasure house of neshamas that haven't come down, and they are praising Hashem, and then the oitzer beis shel neshamas shekvar ba'u lo'olam hazeh, neshamas that have already come into this world, v'chazru, and they've gone back, v'nosnu ba'oitzer achayim, and where does Hashem put them once they've passed away? Of course, into a treasure house, as we call it, in the Oitzer HaChayim. And what do there? The Kulam Noisnim Shir V'Shevach V'Haida'a L'Bayre Yisala. They're constantly praising and singing unto Hashem. Shmoy B'Soid Kol Pa'al Hashem L'Maneyu. Everything Hashem created for His sake. But we know, obviously, these neshamas, and what we mean, Amech Kulam Tzadikim, so every single Jew who's lived in this world, done some mitzvahs, goes to a special place in Gan Eden after they've, sure, after the year, and there they're singing praises, and Hashem loves it. But there's a higher level. Who does Hashem love? And you would think that would be the highest level. Who does Hashem even love more to hear praises from? L'mayla mehem, hashir v'hashevach That's the praises, the songs that Hashem loves from the neshamas that are still found in this world. Our neshamas. Asher hin toy habasar that are still within the body, in the flesh. For who mayna mehakir Hashem, and we know that because we are enclosed in a body, we can't see God. We don't know godliness. It's remote from us. What do we know? We know the physical and the material. To us, the Eibishter is remote. And yet, what do we still do despite that? He says, v'im ata m'misam, skipped a bit, a very important okay. V'heim mis'atzmin le'hoiv Hashem. They strengthen themselves to love Hashem. In other words, they have to overcome obstacles and challenges despite the fact that they're in this world. Despite the fact that they're still enclosed in a body, they still work on themselves and they love Hashem. And not only that, right? So they praise Him and they thank Him and they're constantly singing to Him. And He says, Ze elyon v'choshuk etzel habayra l'mayla me'akol. This is the highest and this is the most desired by Hashem more than anything else. It's explained at length in the Zayar. And the Arachayim HaKadosh says, what was Moshe Rabbeinu saying to the Eibishter? If you're going to kill the Jewish people, what are you doing? It's like somebody says, to spite yourself, right? So you live for the praises of the Jewish people who are alive. So why are you going to kill them? You love to hear from them. Keep them alive. That's what you want, so that it's good for you. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Eibishter. You love it when, despite the fact that they are in this world and it's difficult and it's challenging, and as we saw in the Ramban, I don't think we read that Ramban, but Moshe, we mentioned. Remember how all of Bnei Yisrael were influenced by Korach. We mentioned it last week. It was unbelievable what was going on there. They were in two minds, in their mind, and because of that, they were all deserving to die, Ramban says. Because if in their mind, even, they doubted the Navi of Hashem, they really deserve to die. That's the truth. But nevertheless, what does the Arachayim Kaddish say? He says, no. Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Eibishter, don't destroy them. You love their praises. Keep them alive. And that's how he says, a very beautiful concept. But what we can see, in this context, is very beautiful. And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu, again, using his wisdom. But what we see from here is, as we say, that we have to utilize every moment that we have, because the opportunity is very short. So whatever moment we have, and we're coming, as we say, to Pesach, the time of real Hallel. We don't say more Hallel than on Pesach. Pesach is such a beautiful yontif in the sense of every sense, the miracles, but it's a Hallel yontif. We say more Hallel than any other, like we say at night and by the Seder and in, of course in davening. So let us remember that the Hallel that we say, that's what's precious. Whoever we are, us simple people, this is what's precious to Hashem. And not forget that it's so powerful. It's such a beautiful idea. But just also, I'm going to stop because I won't go further. But there is a few beautiful, I know there was a beautiful story in the Gemara about the reward. But anyways, we'll leave it over here. I'm sorry. But next time, we will continue with the story. I might just do that other part. Just because.